Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to say a few things. So one, the tickets are on sale for the live shows in Melbourne. So they're in November and December. I know it's so far away, but I'm only saying this because it's very full in there. Like, we're going to try and get some more seats in. But it's great. So thank you very much, everyone who's bought tickets. If you haven't bought tickets and you're in Melbourne, go to joshua.com.au and buy up the tickets. $75 for a season pass, all seven shows, or $15 per show. The other thing, I floated this on all my social media during the week, it is I might be making some t-shirts. So if you are into the podcast, which if you listen to this, yes you are, and you would like a Don't You Know Who I Am t-shirt, I'm going to use one of the designs that Celeste Potter, who does my posters, who's an amazing artist, she is doing a new poster for the upcoming season, and I think I'll use that image because it's going to be really cool. And so it won't have a big Don't You Know Who I Am on your t-shirt, because no one wants to walk around. That's very aggressive to walk around with that on your t-shirt. So it'll be a subtle little Don't You Know Who I Am somewhere on it. But yeah, it'll be cool. So hit me up if you would like one, in terms of, just because it's that thing of going, how many do I make? Do I want to have like boxes in my garage? And, you know, then I'm making, like, getting a whole bunch of different sizes. I won't be able to sell them. So I would like to do it. So one, I'm not, you know, making too many. Let's help the environment out here. And also, yeah, so you can get them tailored to what your size is and I can do it that way. One more last thing. I did a Patreon bonus episode this week. So you'll get that. I'm also going to do another one next week. And I'm going to reshuffle the pay thing for that as well, because I admit it's not something I've, because getting this up every single week is a lot. So the Patreon bonus episodes, I thought, oh yeah, it'll be good. I'll just put the editor bits out. And now people have been doing the show so much, they know what can go on and what can't go on. So I'm not really editing much out of the show. So I'm going to do it. So $5, if you donate $5 a month to the Patreon, you'll get a bonus episode. So if you're giving more, you're still amazing. Thank you very much. But if you're only doing more so you can get the bonus podcast, I'm going to be nice here. Does mean, though, I'm going to delete all the back bonus ones. So don't just go in and go $5 now. Then you'll be able to listen to them all, then piss off again. So I'll be a new one out in the next couple of, maybe next week it'll be. So it's very funny. I've already written it. I've got the people involved. We just got to all sit in the room and do it. So it's going to be a little bit different to just a normal show, but it's very good. You'll notice in this one, there's only three guests and me. Had a late minute withdrawal, no one's fault. And at this time of year in Melbourne, there are so many people in Edinburgh. And so doing these at different times, trying to get everyone involved, takes a lot of work. So that's all I need to say. There you go. Enjoy this episode. It is super, super funny. Hopefully I see you around at the live shows coming up later in the year, and also maybe Perth and Brisbane. Hold tight. I'll be with you soon. Cheers. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and joining me this week are three very funny people. Let's meet them now. Our first guest shares her name with a Bunnings worker in Adelaide and a Melbourne woman who works at a hotel group, and me and this woman have seven mutual friends on Facebook. It's not you, though. It's a different, wow. It's a different person. But the one we have here is comedian Danielle Walker. Yay!
Honestly, I would love a job at Bunnings.
It would be a good job.
I'd love paint department. I love, look at that, mixing all the colours together.
How old would you want to be? Like, I always see it a nice retirement job.
Oh, yeah, but I'd do it now, too.
You'd do it now?
If I'd do a day on the side, that'd be fun. Except take a few colours, accidentally make them a bit more the colour you'd like to take. And then be like, oh, sorry, I've got to remix this one up for you.
All right, so you're working there for a year.
Put a stack or something.
You're working there for a year. They come to you and go, hey, would you like to be in the ad? Would you do the ad? Your comedy career's still going.
Yeah.
It's just you've worked there for a year. People might know you from the comedy.
I'm already doing ads.
Yeah, but would you do the Bunnings ad as just a, I work at Bunnings and it's a real good job?
Yeah.
You'd do it?
Absolutely. You know, Bunnings is kind of a cool job, I think.
I think it is too.
It's fun. You just get to walk around looking at like screws and stuff. And
every time I'm in Office Works, I think I would actually enjoy coming here every day, just looking at all the pens and paper. It's you other two can talk,
so
by
fun.
The way. You don't have to.
Yeah. Oh, quite a relief.
A lot of crazy, zany inputs. I had a joke about the mutual friends. I had a joke, so many Bunnings gags.
Yeah. What about screws? I don't know. Walking around.
Don't work blue.
Because I know for a fact that if you do those Bunnings ads, you only get paid your regular Bunnings shift.
What?
Yeah, crazy. If it takes 2 hours, you only get paid the whatever you get paid an hour at
50
Bunnings.
Bucks.
Why didn't you factor that into the question?
I wanted to see if you're going to sign off on it.
I'm not doing it then.
But you're already working at Bunnings.
Yeah, but I'm not doing an ad for my regular wage when if I do the ad, I might have to sign a contract to say I can't do any other ads where I could get paid way more.
Okay.
It's crazy that the Bunnings ads are of the quality they are, though. That you'd think the people would just be like dead-eyed, staring into the distance, going like, oh, Bunnings sucks.
No, but for them, they're not having to work there for that time. They're like, oh, I get to film the ad today. This is going to take a couple of hours. I don't have to worry about wrenches and stuff.
Yeah.
People also get really excited about being on TV.
They love it.
My mum once sent me a clip of the news when it was flooding in Townsville. Like, have a look at this. And it's just my mum in the background underneath an umbrella looking at the water. You're not even talking.
Our next guest is a comedian who shares his name with a manager of a Target in Perth and a replenishment manager in Reading in the UK. Can you please welcome us, Jack Drews?
Yay!
Hello, everyone.
Did you know what? I think we talked about the manager in Target last time you were on.
I'm not sure. I probably brought this up last time, so if I did, I apologise. But the only person I know that I share my name with is a character in a book who gets, I think, murdered by his son.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last time.
And there was quite a while where if you Googled Jack Drews, that was what came up. So, yeah. I'm not booking this guy for a comedy show. He's dead.
But I did like replenishment manager. So I'm wondering if it is...
Of Target.
No, there's separate person. So the Target one's in Perth. This one's in Reading. It just says on his LinkedIn, replenishment manager. So I was thinking, is that like he fills up the vending machines? Like, is that what a replenishment manager is? Like,
it's my granddad who I'm named after.
Yeah.
He was the replenishment runs in the family.
Our next guest is a comedian and actor whose IMDb star rating went up 130,000 places this week.
What?
Yeah. Can you please welcome back to the podcast, it's Stu Dolman.
Wow.
Why? How does that work?
I don't know how it works, but like there are no other Stu Dolmans I could find on the internet.
Yeah.
So what I do is I go to IMDb to see if there's anything there that I can work with, and I check everyone's star rating.
Wow.
And it is wild. It's either up 100,000 places or down 200,000 places. It's like they... Do you know the scoring in pinball, which is like you've done one thing. Oh, you've got a million points.
Yeah.
I think that's what the star rating
just
is.
Yeah, yes, my name hit a bar.
Don't feel so good about yourself.
No, I don't. there's another guy. There is another Stuart Dolman in the UK, but he lives in an island and lives in a caravan park.
Oh, so he doesn't have Facebook and he doesn't have LinkedIn.
I must have deleted it then because I remember looking for Stuart Dolman. Yeah,
I couldn't find him. Now, listeners of the show, regular listeners would know we normally have four guests this week, no fourth guest. So I'm playing, baby.
All right.
So some of these questions will be about me. So when we play the games, factor that in. It could be me. I can't buzz in, though. In case.
Who do you share a name with?
There's a footballer who used to play, soccer player.
Oh, yeah.
Who used to play for Preston. He now plays for another team. He just got traded, but he hurt his knee in his first game for the club in the first 15 minutes. And editor of Deadliest Catch.
Oh.
He's won 5 Emmys.
Ooh. Wow.
And he listens to the show. So hi, Josh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because someone tagged him in and said, hey, this comedian has your name.
Yeah.
And then he watched me do a spot on YouTube and liked it.
Okay.
And then tracked me down on Facebook.
There you go. Great show, Deadliest Catch. Big shout out. Go to Deadliest Catch.
Good. Awesome.
Is that
good
the one
dude
with the big crabs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fishing for crabs.
So he's just editing it. He's
crabbing.
Not on the boats, though.
Well, he's got the best job then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He gets all the drama
Josh
come across his desk.
If you're listening, Josh, hook us up with a crab.
Yeah. You want a big crab. Yeah. Thanks, Josh.
Ooh. All right, our first game today is called Social Me Media. I'll read out status updates by the four of us. You have to buzz in and tell me who you think tweeted it. Your names are your buzzers. If you get it correctly, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person actually wrote the tweet, they get the point. Wow. So you can't buzz in for your own ones. Poker faces on. First one is this one. Scooby-Doo's full name is Scoobit-Doo.
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Druce.
You are correct. Yes, boom. It was Jack Druce. Yes.
Good one. That was great.
Thank you, Doo.
Yes, Scoobert.
As I was writing it, I really wanted to just, I would walk around afterwards and Scoobit-Doo.
Scoobit-Doo. Where are you?
All right. Question two. Consider this the first tweet of the rest of my life.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Stu?
You are correct, yes. A point there for Jack.
Hey, wow. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, good. Thanks, Jack.
It's very hard not to read your tweets in your voice, though, as well.
Okay, that's is that a good thing?
That's a good thing, yeah. Okay. You've got a voice. When I read your tweets, I'm like, I can just picture you, Broden Kelly, who was almost going to do this podcast, but he was busy. Every time I read his Facebook updates,
Broden Kelly.
And Ronnie Chang, which I won't do an impression. Question three. Hotel shower caps can eat my shit.
Stu.
Yes, Stu.
Danielle.
Yes, you are correct. Yes.
Yay.
Everyone's off the mark. It's good. You don't like them?
No, they're like cling wrap. They don't keep your hair dry at all. I think if you've got short hair, like an EOU, as soon as I put my luscious, heavy hair in that cap, it's pulling the cap right off.
Because my wife, she loves them. She thinks they're the best.
Nah, she's wrong. Tell her she's wrong.
Because when I was on roadshow one year, I was on roadshow for 4 weeks and we stayed in hotels, different hotels pretty much every night. I got every single hotel shower cap and everyone else on the cast gave them to me. And so when I got home, I gave her like 80 shower caps.
She hated the environment as well, didn't she?
Well, they've already been made. Like, yeah. She loved them.
It's like a waterproof jellyfish for your head.
Yeah.
It's like it's not waterproof.
It's not waterproof.
No, it falls straight off.
Really?
It doesn't hold. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Everybody...
I've never worn
except
one.
For your wife, agrees that they're bad.
Shower cap, more like shower crap. Sorry.
Give more to bed.
Thank you. Apology accepted.
Okay. Question four. I'm a strong advocate for boomers on scooters.
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Stu.
You are correct. Yay. Yes. Another point for Danielle.
I did your tip. Imagining whose voice.
See, I wrote all this when Broden was still involved, and so I thought I could imagine Broden saying that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Broden saying
boomers on scooters.
I love someone listening to this who doesn't know who Broden is. It's like, did they not book a pirate or a mountain man?
One of the guys from Deadliest Catch.
All right, question five. Monopoly is the only time you can be the richest guy in town and have only one shoe.
Stu.
Oh, I heard Stu first.
Okay, I'm going to say Jack.
You are correct, yes. Another point there for Stu.
Cool. Yes.
What, are you involved in this round?
I am involved.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Were you going to say me?
No, but I just remembered
that I am.
That it could have been you.
Even after I gave the point to Jack.
Yeah.
What's your Monopoly character of choice?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't probably that you know, there's a submarine.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Submarine. Is it a submarine piece?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy moly.
If there's a submarine, then that's my choice.
Oh, maybe I'm playing a different game.
Yeah.
You're playing Battleship.
Yeah. The bishop normally.
Yeah. I could normally get the hat, I reckon.
The hat? The top hat?
I'm at the little dog.
I'm the dog as well.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
What do you mean, of course? Of course you're the dog.
Because
on the iron, yeah, of course. Of course,
such a nice, just a little Scotty dog. But it's funny when you kind of, you're playing a game, playing a little cute Scotty dog, but you're bankrupting your friends.
Yes.
Yeah. This lad's a mean little dog.
I actually think, I've been out of the dating scene for years. I think that would be a good question to ask in a getting to know you. If you were a Monopoly piece, which piece would you be?
Wait, let me just write that down. Yeah.
See how you go.
Yeah.
Okay, question six. How funny would it be if your favourite singer in the world was Lenny Kravitz?
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
You.
Yes, that is me, yes. It would be funny.
Yeah, I mean, who?
Like, he's not terrible, but he's not great. So yeah. Have him as your favourite.
A huge Lenny Kravitz fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
You're lining up for Lenny Kravitz tickets.
Yeah.
That is weird.
To get away. So he's like, he's got a couple of songs and then
American
it's like,
all right. Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, my favourite.
All right, question 7. When grapes had seeds, I didn't eat grapes.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Danielle?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, wow. Jack, yes.
We seem to know each other quite well.
Yeah, no one's got a single point wrong yet.
It's weird how seeing each other a few nights a week, every week for years, does it?
This lady's got opinions on grapes.
They are terrible with seeds. You got to spit all the seeds out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can't eat that on the go.
No.
I get angry these days if I have a mandarin with pips in it.
Oh, tell me.
Because sometimes they say on it, these are seedless mandarins, and you bite it and it's got a pip.
Should take it back.
Half eaten, just the pip.
Spit the seed right in their eye.
Not as bad as olives that are meant to be pitted that have the pips in them. That's the
that's a tooth problem. Yeah. That's going to kill you.
What? Yeah. What's that? The pip of the
olive?
Olive. Olive. Oh, yeah. No, you got to go de-pip that olive.
I feel like I heard so many legends like when I was a kid about eating seeds of different fruits that would, like, you die if you get a bit of watermelon, so, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, whereas,
like,
it grows in your stomach.
If any of those were true, there would be so many dead kids that are, like, surely they're not all instant poison.
Yeah.
I bit into a dried apricot once and half a worm.
Half a worm?
Well, the other half was obviously in me. I spat it out, but, you know.
It was in
you
me.
You see it. Yeah. It's in me. Got it out. That's why now if I eat a dried apricot, you know how they got that like slit in the middle?
Yeah.
You butterfly and just check the middle.
Wow. Because that's what you bit into that with the actual pip still in there.
No, I said dried apricot.
Yeah.
Listen,
I got
next
confused.
Time.
First day.
Question 8. Stand-up is the stupidest art form. The value of a painting isn't decided by drunks who don't know how they ended up in an art gallery and have never seen a painting before and they're yelling at the painting.
Stu.
Yes, Stu.
Jack Drews.
You are correct, yes.
Any of the ones that sound kind of smart.
Any real nerd content.
I quoted this tweet the other day. This is from last year, but I quoted it the other day to someone saying it's so true.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is so true.
Thanks, man. I love didn't quote it on Twitter, but
just the retweet.
I think I gave it a retweet. But it is like trying new material to people who don't even know why they're there.
Yeah. Oh, it's a nightmare world we've built for ourselves.
All right. Question 9. Realizing no matter how funny I think I am, nothing is as funny as seeing a man at the urinal with his pants all the way down to his ankles.
Danielle.
Okay, yes. You go first.
Go, Danielle.
Josh Earl.
You are correct. Yay. That's another point for Danielle.
I was going to say Stu, and then he buzzed in.
Oh, damn it.
And then I knew. I was like, Jack doesn't do blue.
Is this blue to you, is it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sort of. Pants around your ankles.
That is
blue. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to do that at a church.
Now, you wouldn't have seen this, though, Danielle.
No.
Sometimes some men... Occasionally you see it, once every couple of years.
Are they just drunk? Is that why?
Yeah, or their pants have fallen all the way down. They can't be bothered picking them up.
There's something so sad.
But also it's
about
how little kids go to the toilet. Like they pull them all the way down and then,
It's an Adam Sandler movie where he's doing that in the posters.
Big Daddy.
Yeah, Big Daddy.
It's so gross though, because that's where all, like, have you been? I would never let my clothes touch the floor of a public toilet.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. There's two things really gross about men's urinal activities, right? First, there's three actually.
There's lot more than that.
So these are three main ones. There's that. The second one is when you wear shorts and you go to the urinal, someone comes up next to you and just pisses into the urinal and just splashes on your legs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Full on, right? And then the other one is when it's winter, right? The urinal, because of all the warm piss, oxides. So then you're pretty much breathing in urine oxide.
Yeah.
No.
The other thing.
Oh, no.
The other thing I find.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't know how anyone would be so drunk they need to do this, but quite often you'll see people at the urinal just leaning up against it with their arms up against the wall. Just
like they make it, like they're going to make out with the wall.
But sometimes people do that and they haven't been drinking. Yeah. Like you'll see it sometimes old men in like a supermarket.
Yeah, train station.
Why are you touching anything in there that
exactly.
You don't need to.
It is, like, and there's leaning on there, and yeah, I don't know.
It's like they've just finished a triathlon or something.
Yeah,
unless you need a cane to walk. Yeah, there's no reason to do that. I used to like to pee standing up when I was a kid, because my granddad would have a fire, and then he'd get up mid fire, not say anything, walk over, pull his pants down, and just pee in the corner. And so whenever he'd do it, I'd get up and go stand beside him and pee standing up next to him.
Anything's a little bit different up in Queensland.
It's very hard because I, like, with my kids, quite often have to take them to public toilets because they're like, I just have to go now. And for a long time, my oldest 8, and I'm sort of like, just go with your mum because those toilets are a lot cleaner than, because you just get to go in a cubicle. And he was like, no, I'm too old to be going into the women's toilets. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. We walked in and there was an old dude in the cubicle with the door open and he just soiled his nappy. So he was taking his adult and my son saw it and would not look away. And I'm like, Ollie, look this way, look this way, look this way. And he was like, what's going on there? And I'm like, it's all right. He's just had an accident. It's fine. He'll clean it up. But it was like the most horrific sight I've ever seen. Just an old man just cleaning up his mess.
Did you see the shit in the nappy?
Yeah, because he was because he was standing up to take it off.
And why didn't he shut the fucking door?
Exactly. And bringing it to the front. So taking off this way. So it went through his old.
No.
So his old man balls.
He dumped his balls in the shit, didn't he? Oh, yuck. Yuck.
Yuck. Gross.
Yuck.
Yucky.
That is gross.
Yuck.
All right, our last question for this round. I don't understand how fighters deal with constantly being punched in the face. I sometimes want to end it all when I have bad pins and needles in my leg.
Stu.
Yes, Stu.
Danielle.
You are correct. Yes, that was a perfect round. That's never happened before on the show.
Really?
Yeah, no one's ever got, like, the group of people never got them all right.
Wow. All right. Go team, well man.
Pat on the back.
Yeah. Good job on your distinctive tweets.
Because I thought, I know Jack is into MMA fighting as well.
Yeah.
And I know you are. So I thought maybe you might go for.
Yeah.
Maybe. I was hoping you'd pick Drews.
No, I was going to pick you, but then I just went Danielle, because that's a tweet about someone who doesn't get fighting. But I didn't know you guys liked MMA. So it's really roll the dice.
But how?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Everybody can understand that being punched in the face will be shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do they do that? I don't know.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I can't even. Oh, sometimes I think about it because you know how you can just tap out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not good if you've got something to do as well.
Oh, yeah. No, if it was your career.
You mean in the fight, you just tap out.
Yeah, in the fight. Like if somebody said you've got to fight.
Yeah.
As soon as the person walked in, as soon as they went like, it's time, I'd be like on the ground tapping out.
Yeah. Ow!
Don't touch me!
I'm always like stunned where, because like fighters, they always say the worst part about it is the cutting weight to make weight for the fight. Where you see them cutting weight and it's literally them like drinking a smoothie in a sauna.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the fight and they're just on the ground getting their face elbowed. Yeah.
This is not so bad, actually. Yeah, that sauna sucks. Yeah.
Bang, bang. All right, at the end of the first round, the scores are me on 0 points. I didn't get off the mark. Jack on 2 points. Stu on 4 points. And also on 4 points is Danielle.
Hey!
All right, this round is called Love is a Many Splendid Thing. So it's a new round, old rules. Now, they say that love is a many splendid thing until, well, it isn't. And to this round, we're talking about breakups. So today, we're talking about a breakup that I had. Now, at age 22, I left Tasmania for the dazzling lights of Melbourne, but left behind a girlfriend. I returned 2 weeks later on Valentine's Day, where she turned up to my gig holding hands with her ex-boyfriend. The next day, I had to go around to her house and collect a suitcase. But what made this even worse was that A, when I opened up my suitcase, she had cut up all my band t-shirts. B, when I opened it, the whole bag and its contents were moldy. Or C, some of my clothes were missing, and a friend of mine later told me that my ex's new boyfriend was wearing my old clothes around Launceston. Now, one of these is true. One of these is the real thing. You can ask me as many questions as you want, but bear in mind, I want you to get it wrong so I get your points.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what's the humidity like in Tasmania?
This was in summer, so it was Valentine's Day, so February, so it was still very warm.
Okay. What's the What's your humidity percentage like?
Not high. Okay. Not like your Townsville humidity.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I was checking because I've had shoes go moldy up there.
That's a good question, Danielle. No wonder you're on 4 points.
Yeah, you would think I'd tweet like Drews from that question.
Okay, well, what band? Because there's a couple of questions resulting in the band, like band t-shirts and band t-shirts. What band t-shirts?
So it would have been, the year was 2004.
Yep.
So it would have been bands like The Strokes or The Kings of Leon or The Libertines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any Triple J t-shirts in there?
No, I didn't think, I didn't have a Triple J t-shirt. No. Okay. I would have about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I got to the age where I'm like, I don't listen to Triple J.
Yeah.
Listen to
Spotify.
Double J. I'm a Double J guy.
I was going to say Triple R, but like,
So was her ex, who may or may not have been wearing these shirts.
Yes.
Is this guy in any way sort of in the same, like, community or attached to a circle of friends that you were running in?
Yeah, so it was Launceston, so it was quite a small little town, and so he was in a band as well, and I did kind of music but more comedy impro stuff, and then so it was all the same circle, so it was all the creative. So there was, in Launceston there's this thing called Taz Dance, a dance company, and they attract all the creative people in town pretty much, and you'll kind of just hang out around that
Taz Dance.
That Taz Dance.
In Lonnie.
Right. In Launceston,
Okay.
Okay.
And so I definitely knew him.
How long had you been together with?
We'd only been together for like 2 months.
Okay.
And so I'd already planned the trip to Melbourne. So I'd come to Melbourne first. I'd had a big breakup, which was 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. Moved to Melbourne. Didn't plan it well at all. Just slept on people's couches for 2 months.
Mm. Whose couch did you sleep on?
My friend Jimmy.
Yep.
And my friend Stu.
Yep.
And I also stayed on at the Carlton Cemetery for a night.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, because Stu, when I was going to Stu's house, he said, just call me, get this tram, and call me when you're there. So I went and saw a band and got the last tram out.
Mm.
I didn't know where his house was, so I called him and his phone wasn't answering.
Yeah.
And he'd gone to bed and gone to sleep and had his phone on silent. So I just walked up and down Carlton and thought, I can't do this. This is actually dangerous.
Okay. Yep.
And so I had no money to get a taxi anywhere or hotel. So I just thought, I'll just jump the fence and that'll be a quiet place to sleep.
That is such. Yeah. You weren't drunk? Were you drunk?
I was pretty drunk.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I wasn't
that's
like,
logic. That's
I wasn't
logic.
Like out of my mind drunk.
Yeah, yeah,
I was just
yeah.
like, all right, what do
yeah.
I do? So
but
I went
it's
in
tipsy
there.
Logic.
Yeah. And then he called me at 6 because he had like 8 missed calls and called me. And I'm like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm at the cemetery. I didn't sleep though. I was just there.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'll just come down this street. I was like literally like 100 meters from his house.
Yeah.
I feel like seeing you sleeping in this, like if I saw someone who was like a real goth looking kind of like crazy metalhead type person sleeping in a cemetery, I'd be like, oh, that's fine. But just like just a normal 22-year-old man just in a checked shirt just lying there.
I've seen you do a comedy club for kids.
Yeah. So I was there 2 months and then I organised who I was going to live with and then I went back to Melbourne and they found the house that I was going to move into and I had 2 months in Tassie. Like I'd working a little bit and then went over. So in that 2 months, me and this girl got together. And
what did you do that for?
Because we were young. We were young and 22, it was 24. Fun. It was a summer fling.
He's sleeping in graves.
Yeah. Rock and roll, man.
And so the night, we had a great summer. It was so much fun. And then the night before I left, she went very cold on me and said, I'm sick of this shit and just turn her back on me and I didn't talk to her the rest of the night. Then in the morning, I got her to drive me to the airport.
Drove you to the airport?
She drove me to the airport. We didn't really talk in the car. Okay. I was trying to make conversation. She was like, nah. I got there. And I had 2 suitcases with me and I weighed them and went, well, you're going to pay $300-something for the
$300?
Well, I had packed everything in 2 suitcases, didn't weigh them. And so it was... And so I said,
I can't afford that.
I'd be sick of that
planning.
Shit too.
Yeah. So I said to her, I said, can you just take this suitcase back with you and I'll get it off you when I, come back in 2 weeks. So I had a gig at a thing called Festivali 2 weeks later.
Okay.
So did you break up to move over? Okay. So
my plan was that she would maybe want to come and live in Melbourne. And then when I landed in Melbourne, I called her and it was kind of weird, but it was like, and then I called her 2 days later. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? And she was like, I'm just hanging out with his ex-boyfriend.
How long had they been together for?
They'd been together for about 2 years beforehand.
Okay.
They broke up They were broken up for about 6 months, and then she got with me, and then they were back hanging out.
So, okay, I can imagine why she'd be quite pissed off, because, like, you've just flown to Melbourne and you've started sleeping in cemeteries.
No, I'd slept in cemeteries beforehand, and then I'd come over, but I was in a house.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to answer.
Yeah, me too.
What do you guys think?
C.
You think C, that he was wearing my clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying mold.
You saying mold?
I think you're the type of guy who sleeps in the grave. You're leaving your shirt a bit damp is checks out.
The correct answer was B. It was mold. Whoa, so a point there for Jack. But 2 points for me. I'm off the mark. Yeah. Because what she lived in a caravan on her parents' house, like her parents' property. And I said the suitcase. So she wouldn't have a suitcase in a caravan that takes up so much room. Mm. So she just put it under her parents' house, and it was Tassie, so it rained and it got all wet. But then it was hot because it was summer, and so And so when I opened it up,
gross.
Everything in there. Like I went around to her house. She wasn't there. Her mum said, "Oh, is that the suitcase downstairs?" Okay, take it.
Yeah.
So I wheeled it back to. Do you know the Royal Oak Hotel? Have anyone been to the Royal Oak Hotel?
No. When Launceston?
Yeah, in Launceston. No. I was staying there, and it's so depressing, but I was just there for 2 nights because I was doing the Festivali, and opened up my suitcase. I didn't take any clothes back with me because I'm thinking, I'll just have these clothes that are in that bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And open it up, and it was just all mold. Everything was so moldy. And
so there's no like better spray.
I chucked it all in the bin.
Oh no.
Suitcase and all.
But it was like, but hold on, but you threw out a couple of red herrings there because you're talking about bands a lot. And moldy didn't have anything to do with them. It's the only one with no band reference.
That was only in question one. It was to cut up my band t-shirts.
But he was wearing a band t-shirts around the town, wasn't he? Doesn't matter.
That was the option C.
Yeah. So the right one was the one with no band.
No band.
Good pickup.
Yeah.
That was another thing. I don't know what sort of person is just cutting the band t-shirts. Like,
well, she knew I liked music. I was thinking maybe that would be her way. She wouldn't have to do that. She was lovely. Yeah. Anyway, the end of the round. The scores are I'm on 2 points, Jack's on 3 points, Danielle on 4 points, and Stu also on 4 points.
Woo!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, I read out a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you will say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want because you want to get their point. You get a point if you get it right, a point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So to Jack. Now, Stu here has a habit of picking up used lotto tickets on the ground and taking them into the newsagents to get checked. He's done this at least 10 times and has never, ever been successful. Yeah or nah?
And I can...
You're asking as many questions as you want, yes.
Have any of them worked out? Sorry, if you covered that in the question.
No.
That's a good question.
None of them.
Because maybe he wasn't listening.
Yeah, none of them.
I don't know what question could be. Because to me, the question I'm asking in my brain is like, is Stu just an insane grub or not? That's the only.
Was this something you did as a kid? Did you do this as a kid?
No. I think I've probably started doing it probably last 3 or 4 years. Sometimes like even lottery tickets, like it's wet.
Yeah.
And I'll put it somewhere to dry and then I'll take it into the newsagent, get it scanned.
Yeah.
But never wins.
Would you ever, do you just do it when you find one, or do you sort of stockpile them a bit and go in with a bunch?
No, whenever I find one. Like most recent one was probably in Perth. It was like the 50 million one. And it was like, I just found it on the street and I forgot to buy one. So then I was like, I'll put it in my pocket, let it dry for a couple of hours, walk around the city, and then I took it in and I scanned and I didn't win.
To be fair, though, most lottery tickets don't win.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm a bit of a dreamer, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like that, in my mind, that might, like, that's a magical story. So I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's magical or disgusting.
I know.
Just depends if you win or not.
Well, you just hear all these stories, like, I don't know, as a kid you hear about lotto tickets, like, oh, he swapped this for a barramundi at the shops.
Yeah,
and then he wins some $20 million.
We had, there was one that was like, you know how they can tell you which post office it was sold from?
Yep.
When I was growing up in Townsville, it was like, it was sold from, I think, the Woodlands, whatever, news agency. And then they think that, so they found the man was like one of those people signed up. And they, so they could work out it was his ticket, but he'd lost his ticket.
Oh.
So he was like, oh, I did a dump run. So then everybody in Townsville was just in at the dump.
Wow.
Going over the dump, looking through everything.
Did they find it?
Amazing.
I don't know.
So I think he couldn't get it. Even though it
oh, I don't know, actually.
Did he not get his
this
money?
This could be an urban legend.
Yeah.
Because
if
you got the email.
Yeah. You've won. Bring in the ticket. Oh, I don't have the ticket anymore. Oh, well.
Yeah. Because
there's like something like $4-5 billion worth of unclaimed lotto money.
That's crazy. Because I've always put a dollar, like one bet on anything that's like $70 million or above. Weird thing. Because it's number one, I'm like, well, I only ever put $1 on because if I'm going to win, I'm going to win. It doesn't matter if I put $50 or $1 on, I'm going to win. But also, I don't want your loose change. $70 million plus, please.
Yeah.
Because my dad always buys a lot of tickets every single week. And every time it's a big one, like $50 million, he goes, oh, if I win, I'll give you kids all like $5 million each. And I'm like, don't say, because if you do, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like,
No, absolutely. If I win and if I use one of these used lotto tickets, well, you know, these tickets that I find on the ground, if I win, I'm not telling anyone about it. I could have won already.
I'm going to say no.
If you have won, thank you very much for coming to my podcast.
No, there's nothing at stake here. I'm just...
I'm going to say, I feel like, nah. I'm saying, nah, you don't do that.
You are incorrect. Oh. That was a real thing that Stu does.
Sorry if I implied you're an insane bro. I hope you win a lot of money.
Yeah, I would.
He's a dreamer.
When you said you did that, I was like, I need to start looking at the gutters more. I need to keep an eye out.
I don't like looking gutters, you know what I mean? It's like if it's there, like I'll walk past and go, I think that's a lotto ticket. And then I'll pick it up and go, yeah, it's a lotto ticket. It hasn't been checked. All right, put it in my pocket.
I don't think I've ever seen a lotto ticket lying around.
I don't know why they're always around me.
And
I
that's
don't know
even
why.
More faked if it just appears. That's what I mean. This has got to be.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll double back because sometimes I tell myself, you've got to stop doing this.
Then
I'll double back and go, no, I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah. I once in Geraldton in WA found $50 on the ground and just put it in my pocket, but then looked around as if, am I being filmed? Is this some kind of a current affair sting? It's like, and nothing.
You're not doing anything wrong if there's $50 on the ground.
I know, but absolutely. I did.
There's nothing wrong with that. You see money on the ground, that's your money.
There was no one else around. Yeah. And I was like, oh, great, $50.
Yeah. I found $50 outside my apartment door.
Great.
When I was drunk. Yeah. And I walked up and I started, I was like, oh, I was quite drunk though as well. So the next day I thought about it and I was like, honestly, it was probably just mine when I was getting my
kids.
Now, apologies to listener if I said this before, but once when my mum was visiting, she was staying in Docklands and we took the kids to see her in a park and one of my kids had to do a wee, went into the bushes and there was $100 in the bushes.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
And
boom.
Then the rest of the time, my mum, me, and both my kids were just trying to find money in the bushes because it's quite near the casino. So we're thinking, someone's won big, they've walked home, they've gone to do a piss.
Yeah.
It's coming out of their pocket.
Because I work like sometimes for Man with a Van. So like we move heaps of furniture and stuff. And my dream is to find 10K.
But wouldn't you have to give it to the.
Furniture, just like look through it. You know.
At that point, you may as well just be breaking into houses and stealing 10K. It's the same thing, really.
Okay, so Stu got the point now. To Stu, when Danielle was in high school, a toilet at the school was filled with sand. An assembly was held and they asked for the person responsible to step forward. No one did. Danielle and her friends were obsessed with this story, but no one ever admitted to it. They now believe that it was the cleaner who just wanted to get out of the work for the day. Yeah or nah?
Okay, so do they find out who was responsible for the sand?
Never.
They never did. How much sand, like, where, up to the where in the toilet?
Up to the brim.
Up to the brim.
Up to the brim. It was like
like was a litter like box. A,
yeah, like a kitty litter box.
Okay.
Funny sight to see, to be honest.
To be honest.
Because you imagine to the...
To be honest.
You imagine like it's like the... When you think about it, you keep on imagining like, you know, the mummy movies?
Yeah.
How it's like a whirlpool of sand that gets sucked down. You imagine your shit going down the sand whirlpool?
Yeah.
But never got to see
it. Yeah, it's like that thing in Star Wars that someone falls down. Okay, tell me about the cleaner. Why was he so fed up?
Well, we just think he wanted a day off. It wasn't like a cleaner with a cleaning job. It was just my friend's dad. So he just sort of like did a lot around the school.
Yeah.
Like he'd clean up messes.
Yeah.
And also just like fix stuff.
Okay.
Because we had a pretty small school.
So you only had one toilet?
No, we had like girls and boys toilets. It was just our toilet.
So
and they
a
wanted
toilet.
To know who did it.
So a cleaner filled up a toilet with sand so he could have the day off.
We reckon because they were doing like at the assembly, they were like, shut down the school, nobody's going nowhere. You know, like also, it happens as well. I don't know if my school was a particularly bad school, but when people smear shit on bathroom mirrors to write stuff, same thing. You know how you get like bored in and they're like, everybody sit down, we need to figure out
but
who's put shit.
It's so weird though because the cleaner, in order to get the day off, is making work for him. So if there's a toilet filled with sand, I'm calling the cleaner.
You got to get the plumber in for that.
The plumber.
You can't be getting the toilet's fucked. Once you fill a toilet up to the brim with sand, it's fucked. No cleaner's fixing that. You got a plumbing issue then, big time. You need to go through and fix all the plumbing in the school because you got sand. You turn on a shower, I assume sand's going to come out now.
Sand. Yeah, wash your hands, sand. Sand hands. I'm going to say not true.
You are correct. Another point there for Stu. Not true at all.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Well, you've stitched me up.
I was thinking, though, it would get the plumber in and then you wouldn't have to, he wouldn't be able to work that day.
Yeah, well, I was also good cover because my school was very small. We were the foundation grade. So it was like when I started year 8 at my school, we were the oldest grade. And then every year we'd be the oldest. So the next year it would be 8, 9. And so they were constantly building new buildings everywhere. So it was just a work site for a lot of the time.
Okay.
And we had this kid at my school who was obsessed with motorbikes. So him and his friends would just make motorbike noises all the time. And pretend they were motorbikes. Yeah. And there was these heaps of piles of sand and rubble that they were, and they'd run over them like they were doing dirt bike tricks. And
God, that's so cute. That is so cute.
We are the Krusty Demons. No. You're 15 now.
Yeah. I did a loop.
What's wrong with you?
To see that, I did a loop.
All right, to
Danielle. It was when Monster Energy was big.
Now, to Danielle, when Jack first started working at the project, he was reheating his lunch in the staff microwave. It was pasta and it was frozen. The plan was he was going to cook it for 1 minute, stir it, then cook it for another minute.
Mm-hmm.
As he was doing this, Waleed Ali came in with his lunch. Jack got a bit starstruck, and when the first minute finished, he took his lunch out and Waleed then put his in. Instead of standing there and just waiting, Jack just went back to his desk and ate semi-frozen pasta for lunch. Yeah or nah?
Yeah. No questions needed.
Please ask some questions.
Okay. All right. I know that's how you do those frozen pasta things. What flavour did you get? What flavour?
I was pasta that I had from home.
Yep.
And it was just like kind of a standard, like, tomato sauce and it was, like, onions and mushrooms in there.
Oh, now this sounds fake. Can you even buy those frozen ones like that? Is it frozen?
I didn't buy, like,
he
a
made
packet
it.
Frozen thing.
Frozen.
I made a big bowl of pasta at my house that I was eating for the week, and then I froze, like, little tubs of it, and brought them into work.
You did that with a minute break a minute.
Well, I'd stir it for a minute and then stir it around and see if it was still warm at the end.
A minute seems like a short amount to make it warm. Now I've got
yeah,
way
that's
more
why
questions.
You stir it up and then put
minimum
it in for longer.
3 minutes. You never put anything in. Sorry, just a life hack for you.
Yeah.
Never put anything in the microwave for less than 3 minutes. Pasta, that's not going to heat up in a minute. Sorry. offense.
I'm taking offense to this. I'm not eating frozen stuff all the time.
Okay. Okay.
But also, when it's a new microwave, you're not always sure how hot it, how like powerful
that's
it is.
That's true. It is a new.
You don't want to go 3 minutes, stink up the staff kitchen.
That's true.
You're the new guy who burnt pasta.
I reckon I just keep an eye on it. You can tell when it's like, you know, starting to get there.
Yeah, you always want to
does
keep,
a little bit of
keep
like
an
a
eye on something in the microwave.
Or something. Like yeah. A little
keep an eye on it.
All right. Why were you particularly starstruck by Waleed Ali?
It's, I don't know if starstruck is the exact word. It's more just like bit starstruck, but also just like he's an in charge person here and I'm very new and I don't know what. I was very afraid that people would just figure out I had no idea what I was doing and I just didn't want to like talk for too long or didn't know what I was meant to say to him or anything. And I was just kind of like, just felt very, very anxious in his presence generally.
Okay.
It's also that kind of just kitchen. It's like, I feel like talking to anyone in an office kitchen when you're new there is sort of a hell on earth. And then in addition to that, like someone who's an important person was like, just like, oh, I just got to get out of here.
And I work there as well. And I do, there is a presence that both Waleed and Carrie have. Like they're very lovely, but if I pass them in the hallway, I don't talk to them because I'm like, that's the talent. And I've been on the other side and I'm still like, no, I'm not going to talk to them. They're famous.
All right. Okay.
So he does have a presence, Waleed Ali.
He's got a presence. Okay. I'm going to say yeah.
You are incorrect. It was not true. Yeah. Point there for Jack.
God damn it. I knew that pasta microwave sounded weird.
But yeah.
God damn it. But then you started talking about being anxious and I was like, yeah, that does sound out. Like Jack.
It does check out. You meet a gold logie winner, I'd get a big hack. Yeah.
But that, you agree with my thing? Like, they do have a presence in that office. Like, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
No.
And it's like, it's. I don't think it's them doing anything.
No.
I think it's just everyone else is kind of just, whoa.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like how television warps how you see people.
Because there's a guy whose job it is to get them drinks. He does other stuff, but he, like, in the meeting, he'll go, do you need orange juice or something like that? And
just them.
And he'll go out and then he'll come back with the drink just for them. And the rest of us sitting there going, all right, yep, cool. Well, I know how to get my own orange juice, but it's a weird thing.
You can't get up, go get it in the meeting, though. You can't really leave the meeting room to go get your orange juice if you want to wet your whistle.
No. At the end of the round, the scores are I am still on 2 points, Jack is on 4 points, Danielle on 4 points, but now in the lead on 6 points is Stu Dolman.
Oh, hello. Hello.
He's come to play with millions of dollars. All right, this is our final round. It's called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about all four of us. I'm included. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your name's your buzzer. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. Question one is this. Who really wants to have a cat but is allergic to them?
Jack.
Yes, Jack.
Is it you, Josh?
No, it's Danielle Walker. Danielle's allergic to cats.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. I just went in a house sat in Tassie for 2 weeks.
Really?
And they had a cat. Yeah.
That's nice.
It was so fun. And they had a cat and I was taking my antihistamines every day, but I love the cat too much. I was picking it up and like hugging it. And if I put my head near its head, it'd like headbutt me and like rub its head on my head and stuff. And it would like meow when it wanted me to pick it up. And, because I was giving it so much like pats and love and putting my face on its face, the antihistamines really weren't doing. Well, I guess they were doing what they were supposed to do. I guess if you're allergic to something, you're not supposed to sort of like hug it close to you.
Yeah.
So I'd like my throat kept closing a lot and I had to keep taking had to go buy like a puffer.
Wow.
And I had to go to a different room and my eyes would swell over so I couldn't see. And then I'd do that every day.
But you yourself were also meowing to the cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we were. My favourite one is I did empty chairs from Les Miserables all in meows, but then I also was doing, for some reason, like the American national anthem, like meow, 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 meow. Is that the national anthem?
Yeah.
I didn't know what the tune was, and Jono like, "That's why are you meowing that?"
Even though I know this didn't happen, I was imagining the cat was saluting. I don't know why that was the thing.
Yeah. Big paw.
Yeah.
Question two. Who recently had an awkward encounter with their local barista when they were seen with a different cafe coffee cup?
Jack.
Yes, Jack.
Was that Stu?
Yes, it was. Point to Jack.
Hey.
Cheating.
Yeah, did it feel like you were cheating?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm a bit of a, bit of a North Fitzroy coffee shop hussy. I kind of like just go around to all the coffee shops. I go to Peter Monty's. I go to Clay Pod or Tin Pod, whatever.
Yeah, Tin Pod.
The Let a Vu, Dench sometimes. And then there's this other one. And I used to go there because they would open at 7 in the morning. But then their coffee isn't very good, yeah. But they're open at 7 in the morning. So then they saw me at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning one day that I wasn't working. And I had a coffee cup from Clay Pot or Tin Pot, whatever. I can't always forget. Anyway, and she looks at the cup and she's like, oh, hello. I'm like, oh, man. I just like felt so dirty, you know.
When I used to work at the radio, there were three cafes right by Triple R there.
Yep.
And they're all got different specialties. Why? Like, one's the friendliest service.
Yep.
And it's great.
Is that the one directly across the tram line?
So there's Milkwood, there's yep. New Day Rising, yep, and yep, one yep. called Piano Piano.
Yep.
The people at Piano Piano, lovely, yep. lovely, lovely guys, but their coffee and food's not great.
Okay.
Milkwood, the food was great.
Yep.
Coffee not great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But New Day Rising was the best coffee, but the most kind of East Brunswick kind of service, like just not caring, just yeah, not yeah. even breaking their own conversation when yeah. they're serving you. And yeah. it's just that thing of like brutal. Going. So you just go.
They know you want it.
Yeah. Do I want to get a good coffee and have a bad experience? Yeah, or yeah, do yeah. I want to have a nice time and yeah. drink something that doesn't taste as good? Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's finding a coffee shop is a constant weighing up of, you know, what you have to deal with to get that coffee, right? That's why I really like Clay Pot.
Yeah. Tin Pot.
Yeah, Tin Pot. Because they're really nice and the coffee's pretty quick. Dench, if that's, you know, it's always so busy and it's like the nest of boomers. You yeah. know what I mean? Like they all come from there.
Getting
and then
very
the one that I saw you
bread.
At, Jack, that, what's that, Ludovie or something like that?
Is it the North Island?
Yeah. North Island?
Something?
That's a great coffee shop. I go there every day. Yeah, it's real good.
Anyone not in Melbourne has just switched off by now. That's yeah, all right. Yeah. I don't care. Okay, question three. Who played competitive chess in primary school?
Stu.
Yes, Stu.
I say you.
No, it was Jack.
Hey!
Jack,
yeah, I was going to absolutely say that. Sounds like a very Jack-ish
thing
to... Got
by the tweets.
He asked what boy played chess or what boy was obsessed with Roald Dahl.
Well, yeah, wasn't that one of your shows, Jack and the Giant Peach?
That's
oh my God.
All lies.
That wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No, it was Adventure Peach or some shit.
Yeah, it was Adventure Peach. It was a story that involved
everybody,
an adventure and a peach.
Everybody associates you with Roald Dahl yeah, without
was
the meaning to.
The BF Druce.
Oh, man. <Yeah. laughs>
The big friendly Druce. next question. Who was recently betrayed because they misread the title of their book and thought there would be 90 more facts about ants? So who's betrayed because they misread the title of their book and thought there would be 90
Stu.
More? Yes, Stu.
Josh.
No, it was Danielle.
God damn it.
Nah.
I'm down. I've lost my 2 points.
Nah. Thought it was 100 ant facts.
Yeah, I thought I was reading an article called 100 ant facts, only 10 ant facts. Rude.
Didn't you have a bit about this. I should have.
Yeah. Well, you think I'm stealing Jack's thoughts?
Yeah, because the smelly ant bit, they carry dead ant.
Yeah, I got so many ant facts, I love them.
Yeah.
Interesting little creatures.
Yeah, I'm really into bees right now. That's yeah. I'm researching a lot into bees.
Gotta look after
give
the
me
bees.
A fact about them.
If you pay a bee like minimum wage, like a jar of honey will cost you thousands of dollars. Because they work so hard for hours and hours, and their whole lifespan, they'd make a quarter of a teaspoon of honey in their lifespan. They live for about 6 weeks. Some can live for a bit longer, but yeah, and they work and they work and they work for hours and hours and hours. And yeah, a jar of honey would cost thousands of dollars.
That's not a tangible way to think about it.
Yeah, but we are. It's like we are kind of taking advantage of them a little bit.
What else are they doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you just say that they'll work that hard anyway?
Busy as a bee.
I think it's wastage if we don't.
Yeah, maybe. Also, the fact that our beekeepers manipulate hives to sell more queen bees.
Mm.
So what they do is when a queen bee will die, the hive will go, oh, okay, so we've got to make another queen bee, right? So they'll germinate a queen genome or whatever. And then, but then the beekeeper will go, oh, I'm going to give them 5 or 6 queens that they have to feed and grow up and make whatever. And then the bees are like, what? Oh, okay, we'll just make them all grow, I guess. And then they'll work really, really hard to get these six, you know, these bees happening. Then the day before the queens hatch, beekeepers will take out five and leaving only one. So then the hive will go, we just lost five queens. We got one, I guess. You know, imagine how stressful that is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I can't imagine them being stressed.
They're a social. They're so, very
that's
social.
What that noise is. It's not the buzzing of a bee.
We lost a queen. You know, ants. Ants sometimes they'll same thing. So it depends on, like, I guess, like, I don't really know the proper terms for this, but basically they'll hatch like a bunch of queen ants or something, and then they'll so they only want one queen ant, so they'll slowly kill off the other queen ants. They'll kill them off, but then sometimes they get too murderous and accidentally kill all the queen ants, and then without any queen ants, the colony dies.
Oh my, that's crazy. That's like, oh, okay, man. So it's almost like the queen, no, the army's like a militarily run society. You'd say the army ants really run the roost, not really the queen, yeah?
They're not really army ants.
Okay, but they're soldier ants.
It's just...
Yeah, I guess so. They just sort of go forage for food and stuff.
So it's like the whole...
I think you might have watched too much of the movie Ants.
Or Bugs Life.
Yeah.
So it's just like the colony dies just because it's like a...
Yeah,
like a rostering issue.
Basically. Yeah, I guess like, so.
Are you murdering the queen? Or should I do that? Oh, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I guess I can't remember exactly. I think it's something about the fact that she, like, gives birth to all of the new babies or whatever.
Yeah. Mm, mm. Or she fertilizes the.
She does something like that.
What's the lifespan of an ant then?
I don't know, but they keep on bringing new ones in, I guess. But if you don't have
bring
one.
Bring in the new
they
one.
All,
I should have done more research.
Yeah, if only there were 90 more facts.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Who had to stop a festival show once because a teenager in the front row power vomited?
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
Was it you?
Yes, it was me. Point for Jack, yes.
Jack's in the lead.
Oh, had to stop, yeah. It was a Wednesday night, and there was like 20 people in the room.
What did he do? What did he eat?
He had a curry, at Funky Curry on Bourke Street, and he just vomited massively. And I thought he was drunk at the start.
Did you find out what restaurant?
Yeah, Funky Curry.
Oh, Funky Curry, okay.
Old name and shame. No, but he vomited, and then because he wanted to come back in to the show because he bought a ticket. And I had to stop the show, and the cleaners came in. And I was lucky enough that I could move my entire audience to the other side of the room. It was in the Regent Room at in Town Hall. And so the vomit.
I did that room.
Yeah, the vomit was just there in the very front. And then the cleaners came in and cleaned it up. And I was just performing to one side of the room talking to the cleaners and then trying to go on with knowing that, there's a show on after me and I've got to.
You've got to do your show.
And so then I got a letter from someone in the audience saying I should have been friendlier to the cleaners who came in, even though I did thank them and kind of talk to them and then let them get their do their job. And he's like, oh, yeah, it was disappointing you weren't nicer to the cleaners.
That weren't?
Yeah, that I wasn't, even though I was doing the show.
But you've kind of just got to say thank you and move on.
You got a letter?
You got content to get through.
Yeah.
You got a letter?
Yeah.
A handwritten letter.
A handwritten letter. They wrote into the festival.
That is
and then the festival gave
that
it to
is
me.
That is incredibly whacked out behaviour.
But also that night people were like going, is that part of the show? Was that all part of it? I'm like, how am I going to get a 16-year-old to vomit every single night? And he even said, I was going to vomit in my bag, but I've got my school books in there.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to wreck them. And I'm like, you could have. That would have been fine.
If he had time to think about unzipping a school bag to vomit in it, surely he had time to get up
and
leave the room or at least get to the back of the
room. You don't
want
to miss a girl show.
Get out of the seat. Well, yeah, I did that room like this year as well. And we had Comedy Fest was always something weird that happens.
Yeah.
Always something. And I had one where, like, it was the last show, and I said, there's a literally line, is like, and me, well, I really need comfort right now, you know? And then two people stand up and walk out. People thought it was planned. They were like, wow, that's, like, perfect timing. And I was like, I need yep, great.
It's such a nice venue, and I feel like it's one of the few venues at the Comedy Festival where, like, it just being drenched in vomit like would seem out of place.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I've done so many festival shows where it's like someone.
It's got the nice chandelier in the middle of it.
It would suck to be the next axe through that room because that room's going to smell like vomit now.
Oh, it
for
was
a while.
So bad. Mm. Like, and because it was right in front of me as well. Like,
who was after you?
Who was after me that year? Adam Vincent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who now is in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was Hannah, me, then Adam Vincent. That's the show. All right, next question. Who recently bought a car off their ex?
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Stu.
You are correct. Here's a point there for Danielle.
I was like, who has an ex that I know?
Jack doesn't drive.
Yeah, he rode his bike here.
Yeah.
Yeah, saw that.
Do you have a license? You don't have a license. No.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend, she just moved to the UK and to be with her new partner. And we're still kind of friends because I'm friends with all my ex-girlfriends and I bought her car off her.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like got a great deal, less than 100,000 Ks, Hyundai Getz. 2009, of course I'm going to pick up that deal.
Next question. Who here didn't finish high school?
Stu.
Yes, Stu.
I'm going to say Jack Drews.
You are correct. Yeah, it's a point there for Stu. Yeah,
now who's the nerd? Oh, you fucking nerd. Studying away. Oh, please, I want to do good at the HSC. Now who's cool?
Yeah, rock and roll, baby.
All right, question 8. Whose surname was wiped off the census? That was someone tagging me in a post. Anyway, whose surname was wiped off the census? It's back on, but it was wiped off.
Dunno.
You don't have to buzz in then.
Jack?
Yes, Jack.
You.
No, it was Stu Dolman, the Dolman.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Dolman
yeah.
name.
Yeah, there was a census in the UK in, I think it was like the 1800s, and they changed it to Dolman instead of Dolman, and then, yeah, our surname didn't like exist in the UK for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
The originals, and then they found it, and they fixed it.
All right, question 9. Whose friends in year 12 organised a school dance fundraiser with the local nightclub that was in no way at all affiliated with the school and they just kept all the money?
Stu.
Yes, Stu.
Danielle.
No, it was me.
Oh!
That was me, but I would like to say I was not involved. It was my friends did this and I was saying this is a bad idea. You're going to get caught. And there were even people in my friendship group who were 18. So you could... This is fraud. I don't think it is.
Mm.
But they rang up.
Sort of is.
They rang up and said, oh, yeah, we're from Helier College and we would like to put a fundraiser on, just a dance.
Mm.
And can we hire the thing? And they said, yeah, for the school, we'll give it to you for nothing. So the nightclub in Burnie gave them for nothing. And they just kept all the money. And that was their summer. So it was finishing year 12, going off to uni. And they started, the three guys started with hundreds of dollars at the start of their summer holidays.
Wow. It's good. That's smart.
So there you go. If you're in year 12 now, try and do that. Okay, and last question. Who made up that they host a podcast just so they could talk to a comedian they liked?
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Drews.
You are correct. Hey. Yes, a point there for Danielle. Yeah. Who was the comedian?
It was a comedian, American comedian called Dave Hill.
Yes.
Who was, I'm a big fan of, but he was doing like that showcase, American showcase thing at the comedy festival.
Yeah.
And I had been doing a podcast for a while and then I'd stopped and I still had all the gear. And I was like, oh, it'd be cool to talk to Dave Hill. And I was sort of just like, I could have a podcast. I don't know. This could be the first episode maybe. Who cares? So I just hit him up and said, hey, I do a podcast. Do you want it? And I did it and it was cool to meet him. But I think it was like... he was in that thing where, because what he does is very sort of surreal and weird and like slow paced and sort of music stuff. And he was just in a lineup show with a bunch of like very like clubby comedians. Yep. So I think he was just having a terrible time at all the shows. And so it's just like doing these rough shows like far away from home. So it was just like at the time when I'm like, I really, really like this guy. And I just like met him at his hotel and he was just like so depressed. So we talked for like 25 minutes and it was like, I don't know how long it was, but yeah, it just left me so bummed out because I was like very new and excited into like, I'm going to be a comedian. This is going to be great. I really admire this guy. And I'm like, fuck, this is what it is.
He's got an insider early.
He does a great episode with Malcolm Gladwell on Malcolm Gladwell's podcast. Yeah, it's great. At the end of the show, the scores are me on 2 points. Woo! Still have never won my own podcast. Jack Drews on 4 points. Stu Dolman on 4 points. But our winner on 6 points is Danielle Walker.
G-dubs!
Because you win, Danielle, you get to promote whatever you want to plug first. You got any shows coming up?
I don't know what there is to plug, I guess. My podcast, Batch Bitch, if you want to hear me die as I listen to The Bachelor, or watch The Bachelor.
Do you not watch it?
Well, no, I do watch it now. And it is one of them. I cannot believe how boring a show can be.
Mm.
With editing and you're like, they just cut the rest of a sentence off. You can tell somebody who's going to say something else and then they just cut it off to make it sound like they said something worse. You're like, what is happening? How are people getting annoyed at people on this show? I can tell that that lady was going to be going to go on to say something. Anyway, I don't know if people enjoy it. People enjoy us hating it, but I end up with severe anxiety at the end of the season. Anyway.
That's Batch Bitch.
Sorry, can I share a TV insight about The Bachelor?
Yes.
I thought it was very funny because Josh was talking before about working on the project. We interviewed one of the people who was kicked off the project, off the Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it was there was an episode where it was a big scandal where one of them had called The Bachelor a dog cunt.
Yes, Monique.
Yeah, so it was that person. And so they're obviously talking about that, but in a sort of roundabout way where they don't have to say cunt on the show.
Yeah.
Where they can't say cunt on the show. And one of the hosts had said the word, like, shunt in some sort of weird innuendo way to get about around that. So I was just in the sort of main office building and one of the, like head people who is in charge of everything, like, ran in a panic on the radio, who's just like analyzing the interview, and because this is before it goes live to air, and they went, "All right, we can use the word shunt as long as it doesn't sound like cunt."
What?
And then everyone else kind of as one were like, "But it definitely does, though. That's why it was said." And then she's like, "Ah, right, okay."
The Bachelor on the show kept on saying, "Dog, see you next Tuesday."
Yeah, yeah.
So many times, and I was like, oh, just beep it. What you say. Just say the word.
Yeah.
You've become less attractive by refusing to say the word.
Her defense.
If you don't know what that means as well, then that person just sounds insane. Like, dog, see you next Tuesday. It's just this random series.
Beautiful, intelligent. Yeah. Whatever that bitch saying is.
Her defense was that she was pretending she was Trent from Punchy. Do you remember that? Was it that old YouTube?
Yeah. That's, what's his name from Soulmates?
Yeah. But that's what we were just doing a bit of role playing of that. That was her defense. It's great. Great defense. Jack, where can people see you?
If you want, I did a recorded an album of my stand up that's on Spotify now. So there's, and then there's another thing on there of recordings from a while ago. So if you want to hear me do stand up, it's all on Spotify now. So go listen to that, please.
Type in Jack Druce, and the album's called Kitchen Bird.
Kitchen Bird, yes.
Kitchen Bird. Mm.
Not listen.
The BF Truce. That's next year.
Roald Dahl aficionado.
Mr. Dolman.
Yes. I've got a podcast with my mum called After Dinner with the Dolmans, and it's real fun. We just chat about our lives and for 45 minutes to an hour every week.
And what day does it come out?
What day?
Yeah.
We kind of mix it up.
Oh, good.
But
we don't see each other all the time.
We do once a week. Once a week, once every 1.5 weeks. After Dinner with the Dolmans on Spotify, iTunes, and the worldwide internet.
Awesome. Hey, if you're listening to this and you're in Melbourne, get a ticket to the live shows happening in November and December. I know it's a long way away, but the tickets are almost sold out. So get
really?
In quick. Yeah. And go to joshua.com.au for all the tickets. Season pass for $75, which a lot of you have done that. So we'll be seeing every week for 7 weeks. And also tickets are just $15 if you just can't commit to all 7, 3 p.m. Sundays at the Catfish. Hey, thanks for playing. It's been really fun.
Till
next time. Bye.
G'day, mate.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.